Good morning, church family. It's great to see everybody here this morning. A couple of announcements we want to make as we get started today. One, if you didn't get a chance to grab communion supplies when you come in, feel free to either go back at any point and you can grab those. Otherwise, when we get to that point of the service, we will have somebody coming up down the aisles if you do need to get one of those communion packets. Also, if you didn't get a chance to on the way in, the offering baskets are right next to the door. So if you're heading out this morning and that's something that you're able and willing to do today to help out our ministries here at Graham Street, those offering baskets are right next to the doors as you head out. Also, in the foyer, on the table that's right in the middle, we have a place for our children's offering, as well as some children's activity pages if you want to grab one of those for this morning. I want to take this opportunity to mention somebody special this morning. Last Sunday, Peyton Poston was baptized, so we want to welcome him to the family. He's in the back. He said he was so excited to be part of God's family now that he's going to give David the sermon time off, and he's going to come up and preach for us. So when we get ready to that point, Peyton's just, I'm just kidding. So he'd be ready to go, I know. So congratulations, Peyton. So I've been gone for a couple of weeks, and it's been kind of an interesting journey getting to do some things. And let me tell you what, I hate masks. I cannot stand them. I've been flying across the country, and so I would basically step into an airport, have a mask on, and about 7, 8, 9 hours later, I'd get to finally take it off. And I know there's lots of people who have to do that for work every single day for even longer periods of time than that, but it just drives me crazy. But I keep wearing it because I love people, and I love you guys, and I love those that I come into contact with. So I know it's not something that we like to do, but it is something that we can show who we are within ourselves. So this morning, just a reminder, when we get ready to dismiss today, if you're going to be in the foyer for a little bit, we encourage you to please have a mask on. Otherwise, if you could, go ahead and take your conversations outside. We would greatly appreciate that. This morning, we're going to be talking about some strength that God has been giving us, but then also taking another adventure to kind of see what it is exactly that we can be doing with that. So this morning, as we get started, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 3. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this time and for this place. And Father, we thank you for this prayer that we read, for these words that Paul wrote to this church, Father, that remind us that you are a God who is in control. You are a God of power. You are a God of strength. But Father, we are grateful that that strength, that power is working through us. Father, we don't always think about that. We don't always remember that we are your work in this world, and we are your strength, and we are your power in this world. Help us not to hold that back, but Father, to show it and to share it to everyone. We thank you for this time that we have to be joined together to worship you, to praise your name, to be reminded of the sacrifice of how much you love us. Father, we thank you for each person here today, for the life of service that they represent in your kingdom. Father, help us now to have open minds, open ears, open hearts to the things that you will speak to us today. This is our prayer in Christ's holy name. Amen.
Let's join together in song this morning and worship God.
Soldiers of Christ, arise and put your armor on, strong in the strength which God supplies. Strong in the strength which God supplies through his beloved Son, strong in the Lord of hosts and in his mighty power. Who in the strength of Jesus trusts is more than conqueror. Stand then in his great might, with all his strength endued. But take to arm you for the fight. But take to arm you for the fight, the panoply of God. Leave no unguarded place, no weakness of the soul. Take every virtue, every grace. Take every virtue, every grace, and fortify the whole. That having all things done and all your conflicts past, you may overcome through, you may overcome through Christ alone. You may overcome through Christ alone and stand entire at last. Encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise and press the battle ere the night veil the glowing skies. Against the foe in veils below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is a victory we know that overcomes the world. Faith is a victory, faith is a victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. His banner over us is love, our sword, the sword of God. We tread the road the saints above, his shouts of triumph trod. By faith they like a whirlwind's breath swept on o'er every field. The faith by which they conquered death is still our shining shield. Faith is a victory, faith is a victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. To him that overcomes the world, white raiment shall be given. Before the angels he shall know his name confessed in heaven. Then onward from the hills of light, our hearts with love aflame, will vanquish all the hosts of night in Jesus' conquering name. Faith is a victory, faith is a victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. Father, take my life. Father, make my life closer to you, more in love with you. For me, you'll always want me to be close to you. My heart, my mind, my body, my soul, I give to you. Take control. I give my body a living sacrifice. Lord, take control. Take control. Awesome power, boundless grace, none can fathom all your ways. Truth and love are found in your heart alone. Righteousness surround your throne. Holy, 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 Most High, holy, holy, holy.
Good morning, church. Good to see everybody here this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Ephesians, and we're going to continue to talk about the strength of the Lord. Today, we're going to add just a little bit of a twist to it from what we've been studying. We want to look at what's our part in growing strong in the Lord. How do we activate the Lord's strength in our life? Let me start off with a bit of review of what we talked about so far, talking about the Lord's strength. And then we'll look at how we want to adjust it a little bit for the new lesson today. We begin by talking about we need God's strength in our lives on a daily basis from Psalms 84, Deuteronomy chapter 25. We talked about the need for us to share the strength that we gain from the Lord with others who are weak, Isaiah chapter 58. We talked about the strength that we need as a nation to rely upon the Lord. In the weekend of July the 4th, we looked at that lesson. And then we began a series of lessons looking at how our city, our community, our county needs the strength of the Lord and to be able to see that in us. And we particularly relied on Psalms 46 as we looked at that. We talked about from Psalms 46 that God is our refuge. God is our river that supplies us on the inside with what we need. He is our ruler in control over our lives. And then Wes presented a great lesson on the strength that we gain from the Lord by waiting on Him from Psalms 46:10. And we followed that up with another lesson on waiting on the Lord from Isaiah chapter 40, where it talks about us mounting up on the wings like eagles. And then we studied the idea that God brings us hope, not only hope in this life, but our hope that's eternal through what Jesus did for us in that messianic prophecy that's in Isaiah chapter 40. So that's what we've looked at up to this point. But what we want to do now is to say, okay, we need to be praying for God's strength. In the prayer that Wes read at the beginning of our worship time today, he read the statement that Paul said, I'm praying for you that you may be strengthened in your inner being. Obviously, we need to be praying for the Lord's strength, all of us individually as a church, and we need to be praying for one another. But what else can we do? Is there more that we can do to activate God's strength in our life? In fact, is God expecting us to be doing some things even as we pray to Him? Do we need to have something that we do to activate His strength in our life? I want to share with you a story of a couple that was struggling in their marriage. And they were praying individually for God's strength in their marriage. They were praying collectively for it. But yet things weren't improving in their marriage. And I want to share this story with you. And I want you to listen in this story what God was expecting of them. They were praying, but was there more that they need to be doing? So let me share this story with you, and then you put the application on it. Jill had struggled with anxiety and depression all during her teen years after her father had died when she was just 12 years old. As an adult, it had been even worse at times. She is now over 30, and she really wants to have a baby, but she's unable to become pregnant. Her and her husband, Brad, have been going to see a fertility doctor for over 2 years, and there have been no results. Brad works in international sales, and he travels frequently and he's gone for long periods of time. And Jill can't shake the idea that he is tired of her and tired of their marriage, and he's having an affair. It's the third day of his trip to China, and she's alone, and it's Valentine's Day. And she gets up in the morning and gets her cup of coffee, and she goes out on the patio for her morning devotional and prayer. Her prayer starts with her, as usual, praising God and thanking God for the blessings she has received. And as she begins to turn her prayer into a time of making requests, she again asks God that he would bless them with a child. And then as she begins to pray for Brad and for his safety in his travels, this feeling of darkness creeps over her, and her depression returns, and she finds herself becoming more and more angry at Brad and also at God. She begins to tell God how she feels mistreated by him, that he hasn't answered her prayers. She questions God as to whether he really loves her. She says to him, "What kind of father are you? You say you know how I feel, you know how I hurt, but you don't do anything about it. It's Valentine's Day, the day of love, and I'm all alone. Brad is on the other side of the world, and I'm by myself. Why doesn't he love me? Why does he not remember what day this is? If I could just have a card or some roses or something, but nothing. He didn't even remember what day it was. And if you really love me, you would do something about it. A father that really loves his children would help his children. Why do I feel this way? I don't think you love me either." Even though she had begun to cry loudly, she thought she heard something. She begins to calm herself and she listens, and the doorbell is ringing. She says to herself, "I'm not going to the door like this." And so she waits until she thinks that the person has gone away. She goes into the front of the house and looks out the window to see if someone's there, and the car is no longer there. She goes to the window and peeks out through the window of the door, and no one's at the door. And so she's relieved that they've gone away if there was someone at the door. She makes her way back toward the patio again. Meanwhile, in Shanghai, China, Brad is 13 hours ahead of her, and he's already had a long, difficult day. He began his day also with a cup of coffee and his daily Bible reading and prayer. And he prayed as he waited for his taxi to arrive to take him to his meeting. He prayed for Jill. He prayed that God would give her a sense of peace today. It's a prayer that he has prayed every day for the last several years. He prays that God will help her to understand how much he loves her. And he prays that the gift that he is giving her this day will help her be at ease. After the meeting all day long, and after a formal dinner with the Chinese executives, he makes his way back to his hotel room, and he takes his cell phone out of his pocket and begins to call Jill, but he stops and drops to his knees by his bedside, and he prays for her again. And he prays that God will give him the words that will reassure her of his love for her. And then he calls. Jill has made her way out to the patio to retrieve her coffee cup and her daily devotional book. And she had left her phone on the table. And as she arrives, the phone is vibrating. She looks and she sees on the screen that it's Brad. and she even hesitates to answer. But as she reaches for the phone, she takes a deep breath and she says, "Hello." Brad says cheerfully, "Happy Valentine's Day." And Jill responds, "I thought you had forgotten." He says, "I love you. How could I forget that this is Valentine's Day?" And Jill responds, "I love you too. Did you find the card I put in your suitcase?" Brad said, "I sure did. I found it the first thing when I was unpacking when I got to the hotel. I look at it every morning when I get up and I pray for you. And every night after I pray, before I go to bed, I remember the card and I read it again. It was so encouraging. How did you like what I got you?" Jill responds awkwardly, "I haven't seen it." And Brad says, "They were supposed to deliver it this morning." Jill brightens and she says, "Oh, you know what? The doorbell rang. I was out on the patio, and by the time I got to the front door, no one was there." Brad says, "Well, go and check. They may have left it. They may have left you a package at the door." So Jill gets up and she goes to the door and she opens it. And sure enough, there's a small package at the door with a card. And she says, "It's here." And Brad says, "Read the card first." So she opens the envelope, and inside the card, there is a picture of roses, beautiful roses. And inside it says simply these words, "Do not fear or be discouraged. We will never leave you or forsake you." It's unsigned. And Jill reads it again out loud. "Do not fear or be discouraged. We will never leave you or forsake you." And Brad says, "Okay, open the box." And she lays the phone down on the table by the door, and Brad can hear her unwrapping the package. Inside the package is a gold bracelet, and it's got inlaid stones that spell these words, "Brad and your father," Deuteronomy 31:8. And Jill begins to cry. She covers her face with her hands and cries. And Brad can hear her on the phone laying on the table, and he's beginning to get concerned hearing her cry. And she says, Jill, are you okay? Are you all right? And finally, Jill realizes that she'd forgotten that Brad was on the phone listening to her. She grabs the phone and she picks it up, still crying, and she says to Brad, "Oh, thank you so much. I love you so much. You don't know how much this means to me. This is an answer to prayer. I know you love me. And I know God is my Father." Let's pray. Father, I know these are anxious times. And I know there are people who are suffering. There are people who have never had to face losing their job before that are facing that now. There are people who have never had to ask for a meal or for money to pay their bills that are facing that now. There are people who are like Jill who drift into anxious and depressing moments, and darkness overcomes them and they have self-doubt and they doubt even you. I pray for those people. I pray for those who are among us who have these kind of fears. I ask, Father, that as a church, we will learn better how to meet the needs of people who are going through a difficult time. That we will learn in this crisis how we might help people, how we might be there for them when they face their crisis. And that we'll be stronger in our faith and in our hope and in our love, not only in our relationship with you, but with each other. I pray, Father, that we will not waste this moment that you have given us as we go through this difficult time, but we will use it to be stronger and better for you in the future. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I think you could say that Brad and Jill's prayers were answered. But my question is, what was God expecting of them? Did he expect them just to pray and to wait? And you might have that impression from the lessons that we've done so far that all we need to do is just wait on the Lord. We just need to pray. I would suggest that there's more that God wants us to do. And that's what I want us to study for a moment this morning. So take your Bibles in the book of Ephesians, and I want you to look at what God is saying to the church at Ephesus through Paul about how he wants them to access and activate the strength of God in their relationship. And I think the first thing that you need to know is that before Paul ever began talking about how he prayed for them, he told them who they were. And I think that's the first thing that we need to understand. If our prayers are going to be powerful in accessing the strength of God, we need to understand who we are. It is amazing what our identity is in God, in relationship with God through Jesus Christ. So I want to begin with reading from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 following. And I want you to be listening for what Paul is saying is their relationship with God, who they are in relationship with God. So from Ephesians chapter 1, beginning of verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. To the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity of all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him you were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity to the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Look at what this is saying about who we are. Because we are Christians, because we have made a commitment to Jesus Christ in faith, our relationship with God is an amazing relationship. And when you drop to your knees and you pray to God about gaining his strength through difficult times, realize who you are when you're praying. You are a blessed one. You are a person who has been chosen. You are loved. You are redeemed. You are forgiven. You have been given a purpose, and you have been marked with an inheritance that is yours, guaranteed. And you're indwelled by the powerful Holy Spirit. Don't forget that. Don't forget who you are when you kneel down to pray, because God is listening to his child, and he wants to answer your prayer as your father. So let's dig into this first prayer in chapter 1 of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 through 17. And the first thing I want you to see in this prayer is that he wants them to grow. Don't just pray, but grow. Grow in faith and grow in love. Look at verses 15 through 17. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all of God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. And I keep asking that God the Father, the Lord of Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. First thing is, when you pray to God for his strength, you need to be growing in your faith. You need to be growing in your love. It's not stagnant. It's not dormant. It's not that once you came to believe in Jesus and therefore you were able to become a Christian and that's all the faith you ever need. Your faith needs to be growing and your love needs to be growing. But look in verses 18 through 21. He says your hope needs to be growing. I pray that your eyes of your heart may be enlightened. I want your eyes of your heart to open up in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him in his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this present age, but in also that which is to come. He's saying, don't just pray. Pray with a commitment for your hope to grow. Be growing in faith, hope, and love. Well, how do you do that? How do you make your faith grow? How do you make your hope grow? How do you make your love grow? Well, he answers that. Look in verses 22 and 23. He says, and God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills everything in every way. Look at this. He says, look, when you pray, pray with a growing faith. Pray with a growing hope. Pray with a growing love. Well, how do I do that, Paul? You do that by continuing the mission of Jesus Christ in the church. As the body of Jesus Christ, we're to continue what Jesus started. And you can't do that unless you have faith, hope, and love. And that faith, hope, and love needs to be growing faith and growing hope and growing love. And as you do what you're supposed to do as the church in the mission of Jesus Christ, you're going to find yourself growing in those things. Look at chapter 3. And I think you'll find that it is consistent with what we read in chapter 1. This wonderful prayer in Ephesians chapter 3, notice what he says. To begin with, in verses 14 through 17, he is saying, I want your faith to grow. As you're praying to God, I want your faith to grow. Look in verses 14 through 17, the first part of verse 17. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives his name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. He's not talking about the same faith that you had when you initially believed in Jesus to become a Christian. He's talking about a faith that's growing, a powerful faith that enacts God's strength into your life. Because everything that you face, you do it with faith. He says your faith needs to be growing. But look down in verses 17 through 19. He continues verse 17. He says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Your love needs to keep growing. It's not stagnant. It's not dormant. It's growing. Well, how? How do you do that? Well, he answers that in verses 20 and 21. He says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is working within us, to him be glory. And look at this now. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. How do I make my faith grow? How do I make my love grow? How do I make my hope grow? You do it by continuing the mission of Christ through the church. Church, we've got to keep doing what Jesus started. And we do it with growing faith, hope, and love. Now you may be thinking, well, I've heard that before. I've heard this faith, hope, and love before. Well, you have. 1 Corinthians 13:13. Remember how the love chapter ends? Now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. These are the three abiding things. And the greatest of these is love. The reason why this is so important is the Corinthian church had a misunderstanding about how you're spiritually mature. They thought you gauge spiritual maturity by whether you can do miraculous gifts or not. And some people were boasting. They said, well, look, I can speak in tongues and you can't. I'm more spiritual than you are. Or another says, hey, I can interpret tongues and I'm more spiritual than both of you. Or another one says, well, I can speak in prophecies. I'm more spiritual than the rest of you. Or another says, I can heal people. I am more spiritual. And Paul says, you know what? Those miraculous gifts are temporary. That's what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 8 through 12. Those are temporary gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit that you need to desire will transform your life into being like Christ. The permanent gifts of the Holy Spirit will cause you to grow in faith, hope, and love. These three remain, but the greatest of these is love. You cannot continue the mission of Jesus Christ in this world without faith, hope, and love. And unless your faith, hope, and love are growing, you can't be like Christ. And that's the whole objective of it. That's what it's all about. When I kneel to pray before God and ask Him, give me the strength I need, Lord, to face whatever crisis there is in my life, I'm asking God to give me the strength to do what I need to do to continue to grow in faith, hope, and love so that I can continue the mission of Christ. That's what it's about. That's why we're here. When you take the Lord's Supper this morning, and you may never have thought about the Lord's Supper in this way, you're participating in a growth process of faith, hope, and love. Now, initially, when you come to the Lord's Supper, there is the God side of faith, hope, and love. What God has done. You believe in what God did in bringing Jesus into this world and having Jesus die on the cross for your sins. You believe in that. You have that faith. But your faith grows as you take what Jesus has done for you and you make it be activated with the strength of God by growing in that faith to apply to everything that you face in life. It's not just in believing in the facts about what Jesus did. It's in applying the facts to how you live. And your hope grows. You know when you come to the Lord's Supper, you know that Jesus was raised from the dead. You know that He didn't stay dead. You believe in that and you put your hope in that. Your hope is that someday you will be raised from the dead, that we'll all be raised from the dead, that there's a resurrection day, that Jesus is coming back, and that we'll not be in this world like it is now. There'll be a new beginning. There'll be heaven. There'll be a great place for us to be. We put our hope in that. We believe in that. But how you grow in your hope is how you apply that to your life on an ongoing basis. No matter how difficult the circumstances may be, no matter how they tend to drag you down and they make you forget the eternal perspective, you hang on to your hope because that eternal perspective will get you through everything. So when you come to take the Lord's Supper, it's not about the same hope that you had when you first came to believe. It's about the hope that you have now, that you're living it with the strength of God in a life that has crisis. And oh, what about love? Can we take the Lord's Supper without love? I don't think so. The Corinthians were. You know, they'd come together and they had a party. Except some people came and they didn't have anything to party with. And so some people were having a great time and some people weren't. And they were ignoring each other. And Paul said, the Lord's Supper is not just about the fact that God loved you and gave His Son to die for you and shed His blood for you. The Lord's Supper is about you showing love to other people. And you see, that's where our love grows. Yes, we love God for what he's done for us and how he loved us. We love Jesus for his willingness to sacrifice for us. But the Lord's Supper reminds us that growing love is learning how to love each other regardless. Regardless of how unlovable we are at times. And growing love learns how to love people outside of our church family. No matter how ugly they are. No matter how much they despise what we're trying to do. We keep loving anyway. Because like Jesus died on the cross for us in our sins, we continue the mission of Jesus by reaching out in love to people who have no respect for what we're trying to do. You see, the Lord's Supper is an opportunity for us to activate what our prayers are about. It's important that we pray and we wait for God's strength. But God expects us to do something while we wait. He expects us to grow. He expects us to grow in our faith, in our hope, in our love, especially our love. And as you take the Lord's Supper this morning, I hope you'll remember those three words. I hope as you examine yourself, as you take the Lord's Supper, you'll examine yourself. Am I growing in my faith? Am I growing in my hope? Am I growing in my love? If you do that, you've taken the Lord's Supper with the intention that God had for us in taking the Lord's Supper to begin with. Daryl.
Let's clear our minds and think about the life of Jesus and his death and his body that was broken for our sins. Father God, thank you for allowing us all to come here this morning and worship you and sing to you and pray to you. And Father, we come before you now thinking about your Son and his sacrifice for us, for his body that was broken, pierced, beaten, and the love that he showed for us there, And Father, we pray that we can love others that way. We pray that we can love you that way. And Father, we thank you for that, and help us to take this bread and dwell on that and think on that. And we thank you, Father, so much. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Father God, thank you for his blood that was shed for us, that it washes us clean every day, all the time. We thank you, Father, for his blood that purifies us and that gives us a new start. Thank you, Father, for your love, and thank you for your Son. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
Told everybody at the earlier service that I'd never led this song before, and now I can say that I have once, but I hope that you'll join your heart with mine as we sing to God. We're going to be dismissed in just a minute. Got a couple of announcements, but before that happens, I want you to take a minute and think about the fact that we don't know about tomorrow, but we know from whom our strength comes. And there's a lot about life that's uncertain, but there's one thing that is for sure. This will all pass away, and we will remain with Christ, in Christ with God. Let's stand together. Maybe you can help me with this song. I don't know about tomorrow, I just live from day to day. I don't know from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry o'er the future, for I know what Jesus said. And today I'll walk beside him, for he knows what is ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. Every step is getting brighter as the golden stairs I climb. Every burden's getting lighter, every cloud is silver lined. There the sun is always shining, there no tear will dim the eye. At the ending of the rainbow, where the mountains touch the sky, many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds the future, and I know who holds my
about tomorrow. It may bring me poverty, but the one who feeds the sparrow is the one who stands by me. And the path that be my portion may be through the flame or flood, but his presence goes before me, and I'm covered with his blood. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand.
Please be seated.
I want to thank everybody for being here. David, thank you for that lesson. Daryl, thank you for leading singing. Appreciate everybody being out today. Lots of visitors today. Thank you for coming. Some of y'all been here before, but appreciate you being here. If there's anything we can do to help you with your faith walk or being able to serve in this church or in this community, let us know. Appreciate everybody. Lots of things fixing to happen. School starting. Some people have already started their athletics, so we're doing that already. But things will be starting soon, and lots to come. I think I mentioned last week the first service probably didn't do it. The second service, kinder care will be reopening probably after Labor Day. I think that was what it said in the bulletin. So be thinking about that. If you're not signed up, there are opportunities to tell other people that you may know that might have an interest in that. Have a note from Sarah Smith. I'm not going to read the whole note, but Sarah's wanting to thank Graham Street Church and all the people here that have been helping her. She actually refers to being saved by this church twice, first in 2016 and now again as she's had cancer surgery. So appreciate her, and she'll actually, I believe I understand this to say that she'll be, following her surgery, she'll be finding out on the 18th whether they were able to get all the cancer. So anyway, going to continue to remember Sarah in our prayers for healing. There's lots of other people. We have lots of people assisted living, people that are shut in. Continue to remember them. Continue to reach out to them and to make contact. Debbie and Joel, it's good to see y'all back. And Beth. So appreciate that. They've had a rough time, but they're back with us now, and good to see them. Also, back on basic needs, there's some opportunities this next week as Deborah's having garage sale. So there's opportunities to get ready, and there's opportunities to be at the garage sale next Thursday through Saturday. So do that. Men, if there's some opportunities you have to spend a couple hours, they would like to have some people working security for that, just to have a presence. So check with Deborah if you could help out with that. So appreciate everything you do. Be a couple more announcements, I think, when I get done here. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for the blessings you give us. Thank you for the opportunities you give us to serve. Help us to open our eyes and be able to see through you the things that we need to be doing in this church and in this community. Help us to treat everyone we meet and come in contact with the love that you showed us and Jesus showed us. Help us to reflect that love in what we do every day. Thank you for the things you do for us. Please bless our staff as they continue to work to provide meaningful lessons and opportunities of worship and of study as we go through this time of different ways of worshiping and living, but it all reflects you and the love you show us. Dear Father, be with us as we go through this coming week. Help us to do the things we need to do to serve you and to help others. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Morning, everybody. First of all, welcome back, Beardens and Wilsons. We missed y'all. We love you. You know you were in our prayers. I want to take just a moment to talk with you about what we do in helping to make the worship, helping to facilitate the worship. First of all, my personal opinion, and that's all it is as much fun as I've had with this mask that my lovely bride made for me at the very beginning of all this, I'm ready to chuck this thing. I want to put it away, put it in a showcase, and put a goodbye, Rona, we whipped you placard on the thing. Do away with all this tape and hug every one of you as you come into the foyer. That's not where we find ourselves right now. That said, I would like to recognize the small group of people who are repeatedly volunteering their time to help with doing this, to greet you at the doors with hand sanitizer if you need some of that, help us to get seated in order to make maximum use of the pews, the seating. It's a pretty small group of people who continually, repeatedly volunteer to pitch in to do that. And I want to give them a big hand, a big round of applause. That to say, they also come in behind every service and sanitize the pews that have been used. So there's that that a lot of you don't ever see, maybe not even know that that takes place. The tape, it's kind of been a work in progress. We've been trying to figure out what's the best way to adhere to what we need to do to keep people safe far enough away that we're not spreading Rona and all that stuff. We're going to change things up. It's been organized in a different way, but hopefully, thanks to Wes, a great suggestion, a brilliant suggestion on why my brain's not good enough to think of things so simple. I'm going to look for some colored painter's tape to put across the side. Farming and ranching community, how many of you grew up being taught, leave a gate the way you found it, open, closed, whatever it is. So what we're going to do, hopefully, is find some green tape to put on these pews in the outer aisles. The center one's going to stay the same. The tape across the top, think of that as a fence. We're not going to go through the fence. That's no seating. These on the side, as you can see, some of them are on the side, can swing open like a gate. So we're going to get some colored tape to replace those, hopefully some green tape, so that if we run out of room here and have to seat out here, we'll know that'll be an easy tell. And the reason we do that is because it gives us, believe it or else, three extra pews, one back there and one on each side of these front pews. Not a lot of seating, but the first or second time we came back to worship, I think it was, we almost ran out of seats. If it hadn't been for some foster home groups that were sitting, you know, like three pews, because they're not distancing at home, so they sat together real close, we may have run out of seating down here. So if you would, just, like I said, we're gonna try to mark that off. We'll make it easier to see. We have ushers who are, that's what they're trying to do when they're bringing people in and giving you, let's sit here. We're just trying to organize so that we make the best use and most use of the pew seating. So I know some of us have our favorite spot that we like to sit. I'm sorry that they're not available sometimes, but that's kind of where we find ourselves. As much as I'm ready to be done with this, there's a lot of politics involved in it. Don't want to go there, but you, Debbie, you are a great hope to all of us. We can kick this thing. Yes. We're so glad for y'all to be back. You know you've been in our prayers. So that to say, I just wanted to point that out so that when you come in, if an usher is unable to help you seat or whatever, please make use on the outside of the tapes on the side that are there like a gate. Hopefully, like I said, hopefully I'm going to get some colored tape to put on them. So thank you for your time.
I know that Ron hates that I do this, but he keeps recognizing other people. But from day one of us coming back, Ron's been such a big part of this. So let's give Ron a big round of applause, too, for all of his work. So again, as we get ready to dismiss this morning, we'll have some ushers that will come down. So please stay seated until your row has been dismissed. And as we get to go out into the world this week, don't forget about those three things of faith, hope, and love, that we can go out and we can live in faith, we can live with hope, but most of all, we need to show that love that's there. Have a great week.
this time of desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear, there is only one foundation. We believe, we believe in God the Father, we believe in Jesus Christ, we believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion, we believe that He conquered death, we believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again. We believe. So let our faith be more than ever.
Let our faith be more than ever.
Greater than the souls we see.
Greater than the souls we see.
And in our weakness and temptation.
And in our weakness we believe.
He's coming back again.